This call is being recorded.
Hey, good afternoon. Matt Priest and Thomas Crockett here. We are glad that you were able to join us for our call as we explore all the different things that are coming at us right now. If you take a deep breath in, Thomas, I think the smell of duty is in the air, and man, it is not pleasant. And we're going to kind of navigate through this call to ensure that you have all the information that you need to understand where we are and all the different discussions on trade and tariffs and aluminum and steel and 301 and 232. And we hope by the end of this call, which we want to do in about 30 minutes, is that you will have all the information you need to kind of keep you informed. A couple items of note. One, this is totally off. We are taping this for our internal member purposes, but this is an off-the-record discussion. So I just want to put that out there. All comments and questions, both from us and from participants, are off the record entirely. And if you have a question or you want to interject something, you just hit ** and you will be unmuted. Another way people hit us up is via text. People constantly text us during this. So you can text me at 202-812-2703 if you have a question as well, and you're just more comfortable doing that. So with that, let's get started. We want to cover a few kind of things from the outset. One is recent trade announcements from the president, under what authority for which he's announced those things, and what the impact is on footwear. In addition, we want to update you on an ongoing investigation that the administration has undertaken on intellectual property theft as it relates to China. And number three, cover where we think NAFTA is and where it's heading. So I think those are kind of the three items we want to get to. So with that, we're going to go back and forth as we see fit. We kind of map these things out. Sometimes we just kind of wing it. But I'm going to turn it over to Thomas Crockett, and he's going to start us kind of walking down this road on 232 tariffs and what we've been hearing of late. So Thomas, take it away.
Thanks, Matt. One of the big reasons we wanted to do this call is because over the past couple of weeks, there's been a major announcement on tariffs on steel and aluminum. There's a lot of talk on that. What does that mean for footwear? What does that mean for the economy? And so we thought it was important to kind of give a little background on that and talk through some of these issues, answer any questions. So really just to start with on that, you hear the number 232 or 232 thrown around a lot. And basically what that is, it's a trade power that the president has. And we put together a deck, and we're happy to send it to you as well if we have it in the Intel Center if you want to check the Intel Center for it. But we have a deck of Trump's trade powers. And so we're going to go through three of them today. And this is one of them. It's Section 232. It's a national security power. And it's something that really hasn't been used in a while. President Nixon used the same power to impose 10% steel tariffs in 1971. It hasn't been used in 30 years to impose restrictions. President Reagan used it in 1986 for machine tools, but you know, we have the World Trade Organization now, so we have avenues that we frequently use for trade actions, and we have other procedures in U.S. law that are more common than this national security exception. But this is what the president has used. It's an administration-initiated investigation through the Department of Commerce. Determined that steel imports, aluminum imports, posed a national security threat, and so this is really a kind of a novel theory. Again, there's other remedies, there's other actions that can be taken, but this is an across the board 25% tariff on steel and a 10% across the board tariff on aluminum. There's been some flexibility on that. The president has said there's going to be carve-outs for Mexico and Canada. Canada is actually the top supplier of steel, so that's going to count to the U.S. market, so that's going to count for a large share. But there, once this action went into let me backtrack. This action actually goes into effect on March 23rd, so there's really a two-week period where the president said there's going to be negotiating. Other nations, our allies, can come to us and work out a deal in a short time frame. He mentioned Australia is one, since there's a trade surplus the U.S. has with Australia. He's mentioned other allies, but hasn't been very specific. So So there's kind of it's really a wait and see right now on what the final product is going to look like. I mean, right now it's across the board, steel and aluminum tariffs with flexibility to work out exemptions for U.S. trading partners. And the outcry from Congress was very large. You know, we saw members leading a letter of 107 members of Congress, Republican members, led by Chairman Brady, who heads the Trade Committee in the House, sent a letter asking the president not to go through with this. Senator Jeff Flake said he would introduce legislation to stop it. He has introduced that bill. So there's a lot of concern on the Hill about such a broad, across-the-board action to target China. And also there's the prospect of retaliatory tariffs where the EU and nations can respond with tariffs of their own against U.S. exports. The EU in particular has mentioned footwear on a list of items that it could consider targeting U.S. products. But that, again, we're waiting to see what the carve-outs are, what the final product's going to look like on March 23rd. So it could be, you know, across the board with the exceptions of Mexico and Canada. It could be very watered down to where a lot of nations are exempt from this new tariff regime. But that's really the state of play right now on that action.
Yeah, you know, one of the things, Thomas, is I pick up on some of the themes that he laid out and kind of the technical back and forth on 232. You know, you might ask yourself, what does it have to do with me and why, you know, why should I be concerned? One is the unprecedented nature, as Thomas indicated, of using this for national security. We're not in a war posture in a broad sense. We obviously have conflict in Afghanistan and elsewhere, but this isn't about managing the supply chain in light of a war like World War II. So it's hard to kind of see national security. And in addition, most of the steel we import comes in from our allies, our political and our military allies in Canada and others. And so what you'll hear is from the administration's rebut of that is the fact that even though China's at 2% officially, they transship all over the place. And transshipment has long been a concern for domestic producers of just about any item or any industry you have here in the United States. Everyone has a concern or has voiced their concern for what's called transshipment. It's basically the movement of goods through a marketplace, whether through legitimate legal terms or illegitimate and mislabeling, to where, you know, you might move it through a country and not much substantial transformation takes place of the product and then shipped to the U.S. and becomes a product of the middleman country, if you will. And so there's been some focus on the administration. There's a lot of transshipment and there's some issues there. And so the concern is kind of the broad approach, the broad stroke. The other concern is the fact that this wasn't really cleared interagency very well. There's a lot of discussion about how this was a White House, this was a decision by the president, this is where my tariffs kind of behavior. And when typical administrations propose and move on such huge action, there's a ton of interagency engagement, a ton of outreach to countries that will be affected before the announcement's made. And a lot of that did not happen this time around. And I think lastly, on the export side, we have slides. If you have an interest on kind of exports, we actually do export some product, some footwear product to Japan, or excuse me, to the EU. Those are on kind of a list of potentials, but we don't see it as such a heavy impact to the broader footwear market in here in the U.S. But again, it's a tone, it's a continuation of a tone-setting behavior, such as departure of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, launching renegotiation in NAFTA, and then implementing these 232 tariffs that just show us that this is an administration not focused on trade liberalization, not focused on driving value to consumers. And so that's why you've seen such broad condemnation from both political parties against this action. So that leads us next to something that's probably of more concern to us than the steel and aluminum tariffs, and that is the Section 301 investigation that USTRs undertook, where they are exploring discriminatory trade practices, which is what Section 301 authorizes. And this kind of was initiated under a Section 301 investigation of Chinese intellectual property theft in August of 2017. which is, again, Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974. There's a couple different 301s that are thrown around. There's this investigation in and of itself, and then there's a special 301 annual review of global IP theft and the challenges that our brands and products face in the open market all over the world, for which we participate very vigorously. We submitted comments. I testified last week at the hearing at USTR, and we're very active in that. And that's where we call out the challenges that we see, but we definitely don't call for additional tariffs to be put in place. And that's what they're exploring here. The Section 301, just as background, is used frequently since in the 1980s when Lighthizer was deputy USTR, and he's now currently USTR. Again, prior to the establishment of the World Trade Organization in 1995, which is an important, you know, those of us who are pro-free trade have often pointed to the fact that we have a rules-based system within the via the World Trade Organization that allows for us to engage with our trading partners in both incentivizing the relationship as well as applying what are called unfair trade practice remedies such as dumping, anti-dumping, countervailing duty law, all of which is legitimate under the World Trade Organization, and all of which we expected would kind of find a enhanced spot on the mantle in the Trump White House, if you will. That being said, they launched this as far as IP theft is concerned, and we expect an announcement that could come over the next few weeks. And the reason we kind of assembled this call is that Bloomberg had a report, and it's been followed up with a number of reports. We've had a number of press inquiries that the administration is looking at a broad range of products to apply tariffs on, Chinese products coming into the United States to apply tariffs on in response to what is deemed as rampant intellectual property theft. And that has been, and footwear has been listed. It doesn't take a trade scholar or rocket scientist to take a look at China's top exports to the U.S. marketplace. Number one is electrical machinery. Number two is just general machinery. Number three is furniture and bedding. Number four is toys and sports equipment, and number five is footwear. And so if you're going to retaliate or apply these kind of measurements to Chinese exports to the U.S. marketplace, you're going to go after the big-ticket items, and it's easy to see why footwear would be on the list. The president authorized USTR to investigate this. President Trump directed Bob Lighthizer, the U.S. Trade Representative, to assess whether or not a formal investigation into alleged Chinese intellectual property theft was warranted. Lighthizer formally initiated the investigation on August 14th of last year, and so he is now responsible for conducting the investigation, which is ongoing. If China is found guilty, the administration will use Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974 to impose penalties, which could easily be tariffs of some sort or limiting Chinese foreign direct investment into the United States. All, it seems kind of counterintuitive to the economic growth that we're seeing, but nevertheless, that's what they are. That's what they're looking for. The cost of intellectual property theft, according to the New York Times, they estimated that the U.S. loses around $600 billion a year to IP theft, with China as the most active thief. Over the past several decades, China has stolen what amounts to trillions of dollars worth of information. So this is a concern. This is a concern of us as an industry. We see that there are remedies out there that aren't tariffs. We pay $3 billion a year in tariffs alone. A vast majority of that is on Chinese product, and that has not been prohibitive. It has not stopped the Chinese from kind of engaging in intellectual property theft. We also know that China's made a lot of progress establishing IP courts, doing a number of things to internally kind of go through what I view as a maturation process of a country that's trying to find its way. And we continue to engage with them and encourage them to work through the system to establish a more robust legal framework, resources, and other important avenues to protect intellectual property, while at the same time providing the opportunity for us to sell into the marketplace. So all these are really important. It's very complex, but we are concerned that there could be added tariffs added to Chinese goods, including footwear, and that's why we're keeping an eye on it. We are a part of a broad global coalition of associations. We're actually meeting tomorrow morning to kind of map out what we view as next steps. From our perspective, if something kind of gets floated, which this administration seems to do, as you've noticed, they floated the steel and aluminum stuff before it was announced. Everyone started to go crazy. Then they announced it, and it was a little pulled back. Canada and Mexico were taken away, and now you can negotiate. And so it's kind of this It's the way they like to do things. So don't be shocked if there is an announcement that duties are higher duties are placed on goods, including footwear. And then that's where we'll go into kind of freak out mode. We will engage with our membership on sending letters. We will ensure that people have the opportunity to call. We may even formalize a fly-in in addition to the one we plan to do around the executive summit in May. So just be on the lookout for that, because we all know that what's at stake when it comes to duties and footwear imports from China. I'm just trying to think through, is there anything else in 301 that I'm missing?
And to that point, you know, there's still a lot of uncertainty around this because, you know, the remedies could be tariffs. It could be restricting Chinese investment in the U.S. It could be other items, could be a combination. We don't really know what that's going to be right now. And there's also uncertainty as to when that's going to be, because the investigation started in August of last year. There's a year to conclude it. But Trump has hinted, or he's tweeted, that there's an announcement's coming. So it could you know, there could be an announcement in the next few weeks, just as we're getting underway with these massive steel and aluminum tariffs. This could follow right after, and this will be the next big trade action to happen. So stay tuned to that. Stay plugged in to us. We'll do more calls on this when there is an announcement on that. And also, we'll keep you updated through the Washington Update. If you're not signed up for that and you're on this call, then just please let us know. We'll be happy to make sure that you're added to that today. But that's something that goes out every couple of weeks to keep you up to speed on what's happening on trade and tax and other issues in D.C.
A quick personnel note. You might have noticed that Gary Cohn was departed the White House here recently. He was the president's chief economic advisor. He was a Democrat from Goldman Sachs, originally from Ohio. And he was what's turned into a dirty word, a globalist, which I don't know what that means. But I guess if you like to keep duties low and not tax American consumers, you're a globalist. Nevertheless, he left over kind of his views and the way in which he conflicted with President Trump on trade. And then the stock market tanked. When one guy walks out the door of the White House, amazing how the stock market reacts. But there are discussions that Larry Kudlow, who's worked in the Reagan White House, who's on CNBC, been on there for decades, and is very much very similar to Mr. Cohn, has a similar view on trade barriers. He is the leading front runner to take that job, and that's good news for us. If it was Peter Navarro, the former Democrat congressman from candidate from California, who was also a professor, who hates China and loves tariffs, he was running for the job. If he had gotten it, then, you know, we might have just packed up and gone home and cried in the fetal position in the corner of our room. But the fact is, it's looking like Kudlow is the front runner right now, so we'll keep you posted on that. That will be a positive development in what has been a lot of negative developments that we've been working through.
And one more trade action we want to flag for everyone. This really started the year off, the Section 201. It's another number to remember, but it is the global safeguards power or investigation. This is a more traditional power. It was used by President Bush to impose steel tariffs back in 2002. But it's different in that this is the investigation is done by the International Trade Commission, which is an agency that we work with a lot. It's not initiated by the administration and Department of Commerce. It is there's an ITC investigation, and also it's company initiated. So companies make this request to the ITC and to the administration to investigate. What was interesting is, so this was on a case on solar panels and another case on washing machines. And on one of those, on solar panels, the president actually is going to impose tariffs below what the ITC recommended as the maximum. So those would be 30%, or those are 30% on year one, and they're cut down to 15% by year four. And then on washing machines, he went higher than the ITC recommendation. Those are starting at 20% in year one. So that's gotten a lot of attention. That really kind of – that was his first big trade action since withdrawing from TPP. So 2017, day one, was the TPP withdrawal. 2018, the first big initiative on trade was this – Section 201 investigation and action. And so we just wanted to, we talked about that in a little more depth at the Customs Working Group meeting in New York. We wanted to at least mention that as another of the trade actions that have been taken so far this year.
So I think that leaves us with one last item. Is that right, Thomas? NAFTA? Do we hit all the other points on tariffs?
Yes, NAFTA, and then we'll do quick update on MTB and GSP.
Okay. All right, so NAFTA. So NAFTA was humming along, doing just fine, and the administration decided it wanted to renegotiate it. In all honesty, it needed some updating. It's not that modern in some regards and cover like a lot of digital trade and other things that are important. And I think on the intellectual property side, ironically, it's something that is important to pursue some added protections for intellectual property. Things that we had pursued within the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but now back at the table with Canada and Mexico. You've seen in the news, it's been up and down, it's been herky-jerky. We've had seven rounds of negotiations. The most recent one just ended in the last week in Mexico City. And there continues to be kind of three major sticking points. And before I even get to that, obviously the action on steel and aluminum has kind of sent reverberations, whatever the right term is, has had a huge impact, I think, on the negotiations because they're kind of on this dual track and it's just weird. So he was able to dial those back with Canada and Mexico. But nevertheless, there's a lot of, I think, skepticism that there will be some kind of major finalization of these negotiations here anytime soon. The main hangups are dispute settlements. We demand an option to opt out of dispute resolution panels. That's not going to, as of now, will not fly with Canada and Mexico. We've demanded there be a sunset clause that we review the deal every 5 years again. There might be a little bit movement on that, but nothing substantive. And we are demanding 85% of the auto, under the auto's rules of origin, 85% of a vehicle made in North America and at least 50% made in the U.S. Currently, there's a 62.5% parts made in North America requirement. So we continue to kind of, the U.S. government continues to push on these areas. And at the same time, there's other chapters that are not as consequential that are being tightened up and completed. But as with any negotiation, you kind of take care of the easiest stuff, and it's a funnel. You make your way towards the most difficult issues to handle at the very end. Couple outside factors that are applying pressure, other than the aluminum steel tariffs, I think, is the midterm elections. Our midterm elections coming up in November. There's a lot of retirements on the Republicans on the House side. It'll be really interesting. You know, we have a special election tonight in Pennsylvania. It'll be interesting to see how that turns out in a district the president won by double, easy 20%, I think. So keep an eye on that. Mexico presidential elections are in July, and then they have their inauguration December 1, 2018. A trade promotion authority is going to expire at the end of July or July 2018. We expect that will be extended. It's a part of the overall bill, and I think the president and members of Congress will seek it. Members of Congress will oblige and provide that to him. And then there's also kind of some really interesting agricultural interests that come up, where there's going to be a farm bill that expires at the end of September, and that will farmers are chomping at the bit to finalize NAFTA because it's a huge export opportunity. They don't want any uncertainty, and so that's kind of where we are in NAFTA. Footwear has not been on anyone's radar, has not been discussed. No rules of origin changes have taken place. So for a footwear perspective, there's nothing really to update you on there. And then I will turn the last over to Thomas, and then we'll open up for whatever questions you might have.
So the last two items, we'll talk about them together because they could move together, also because they have passed the House with overwhelming bipartisan support. That's the miscellaneous tariff bill and the generalized system of preferences renewal. So the miscellaneous tariff bill, the MTB, is something that we've been working on for a long time now. We actually filed requests on behalf of footwear companies back in 2016. Those were vetted by the International Trade Commission, reported to Congress. Congress, the House of Representatives and the Senate put together a bill that has now passed the House by 402 to a vote of 402 to nothing. So just an amazing, overwhelming bipartisan vote in the House for a bill that provides temporary tariff cuts to a range of products, including some footwear. So that's passed the House. It's now waiting in the Senate. Generalized System of Preferences is a trade preference program. It includes countries like Indonesia, India, Cambodia. In the past, it's included Bangladesh. Bangladesh could be added in the future. It does not include footwear. We've worked to try to add footwear to the program. We've worked for years to do that, and we're going to continue to work to do that. But currently, the legislation that has passed the House is just a clean extension. It would just extend the current program and the current products covered by it for 3 years. So again, that's another trade bill, another import bill that has passed the House with overwhelming bipartisan support. It was 400-2 on that vote. So now that's also waiting in the Senate. And really, these are both widely popular bills, clearly to have that much support in the House. But the Senate has more of a challenge with its procedures and when it can bring up bills. And so it could be as early as the next couple of weeks. We're working actively to try to make sure that happens. On the miscellaneous tariff bill, we sent a letter as part of National Association of Manufacturers led group, 215 companies and associations joined that letter that went to every member of Congress that urged a vote as soon as possible on the miscellaneous tariff bill. So stay tuned to those items as well. Expect possible action by the end of this month. And so as soon as that happens, we'll keep you updated on that front as well.
Well, as you can see, the environment in this town is not conducive to eliminating duties. In fact, it's one where you kind of thank your lucky stars if you don't end up paying more than the $3 billion that we do every year, which is absolutely ridiculous. But that being said, we're here to kind of navigate through this on behalf of the industry. We're so grateful for the mandate we've been given as an organization to represent the industry here. You're a part of that. Thank you from both of us and the entire team here. And rest assured that if something hits the fan, we will ask for you to engage, whether it's sending letters, making calls, coming to town. We do have a summit coming up May 3rd here in Washington. You can go to our website, fdra.org, and sign up there. And our plan is on the 4th, no matter what is happening at the time, is to have a fly-in where we walk around and hit the hill and meet with member offices and kind of continue to talk about our industry and the importance that we play in the economy and the importance that the elimination of duties would play into driving even more robust growth for our industry. So with that, we've talked for 30 minutes now. I've talked enough. We welcome your comments, your questions. All you need to do is hit ** on your phone. You'll be unmuted. And just identify yourself and let us know what questions you have. As we're waiting to see if anyone wants to interject, you can always hit us up over email as well, mpriest@fdra.org, tcrockett with two T's at the end at fdra.org, and we will answer your questions. The other thing that we have been trying to do is put out primers or primers, depending on who you ask how to pronunciate that word, on who the agencies are, what these processes are. So you might have noticed in our most recent email talking about 301, talking about USTR and the process, or we've talked about what is the ITC, and we have banked those in the Intel Center or are in the process of doing so. And so, just because you don't know what an acronym is or what an agency does, not make it a dumb question. So feel free to explore those. If there are others you don't know about and you want to be more educated, that's what we're here for. So let us know, and we'll be happy to pull together information in that regard. So any questions? Anyone want to hit ** and ask a question? Not hearing any questions, not seeing anyone who wants to be brave and ask them. So we'll hang here for another minute or two. And if you have a question you want to ask, just let us know. But we will adjourn the call and look forward. We'll stay connected with you. Probably we're coming up on like Passover, Easter holiday, all that kind of stuff, spring break. So we may not convene a call until, you know, April at some point. But if something hits the fan, we'll let you know ASAP. So thank you for your time, and have a great day. And we'll hang here if you have a question you want to ask after class.
Hey guys, it's Andrea from Wolverine.
Hey Andrea, what's up?
How are you?
Great, good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to see if there's any updates on the proposed de minimis. Well, I don't even think it's any sort of legislation at this point, but on the proposed de minimis for foreign trade zones and e-com.
Yeah, so we're part of a coalition for the broader good of those on the call. There is a strong desire for us to change the law to allow for e-commerce, the movement of goods through foreign trade zones that ultimately would enter into the U.S. commerce out of an FTZ somewhere else in the U.S. Under the de minimis laws, that $800 per day per person or per shipment. Right now, everyone's incentivized to go into Mexico or Canada, break up their shipments, and then ship them in to avoid duty to get under that de minimis. And we agree that it makes a lot more sense to allow the law to change the law to allow that to happen in a foreign trade zone here in the U.S. rather than overseas. We are meeting on Monday as a group. We have pulled together draft legislation, and there is discussion amongst the trade attorneys that are working with the group on different verbiage and nomenclature to be used to ensure that what the law says, what we're intending the law to do, it actually does. And so once we have that, we'll circulate it, and from there I'll be trying to find a champion on the Hill to make that case. In the meantime, there's a couple pending requests at Customs regarding how they treat such shipments, and they headquarters has told them to hold off on ruling until NAFTA is done there because of the de minimis discussions with the NAFTA, because ours is high and in Mexico and Canada's are very low. There's a kind of a negotiating dynamic that relates to de minimis. And so that's an ongoing conversation. So we don't expect a ruling to come out that gives us clarity one way or the other. And that's why we feel the need to go to the Hill. So I hope that answers it, Andrea.
Yep. Thanks.
Sure. Other questions or comments? All right. Well, thanks, everybody. We appreciate you being on. And reach out to us if you need us. In the meantime, we'll be back to you with information as it develops or however else it comes about. So have a great day. Thanks so much.